So, let's speak about prophetic times. Everything God does in this world, He does according to time, a time table. And time is something He created, we said yesterday. He created time and space. But when it comes to time, there are many ways to measure the time. In Genesis chapter 1, we see that God put the sun, the moon, the stars with several purposes. One of the purposes was to show the times, to teach humanity about special times. Of course, when we look at the sun, we can say when the day starts and when the day finishes. And the Hebrew way to count the day is different from the Roman or Christian way. So if we want to read the Bible and understand how the Bible is referring to times and also the prophetic times, we need to understand how the framework of time is established in the scriptures. And then, if we come from a Christian background, we have to change the chip in the brain and take it out and put another chip and start to think differently. It's not easy. So, the first thing we have to learn is that the day, when the Bible speaks about the day, it does not start at 12 o'clock in the night. That's the Roman way of counting the day. But that's not the biblical way to count the day. When does the day start according to the Bible? When the sun goes down. So, at the moment, not really the sun, because it said the sun, the moon, and the stars, all these things are created to mark on God's timetable when things happen. So, we have a little problem. It's easier to measure the time the Roman way. You say you have a clock or a watch, and you just know that at 12 o'clock in the night, the new day starts. But that's not the biblical way of thinking. The Bible says when the dark comes, then is the new day. That's why it's written in Genesis. It was night and it was. It was evening and it was morning, day one. It was evening and it was morning. It was dark and it was light. That's one day. So the day starts with the darkness. So when the sun goes down, we have a little time until it's really dark, right? That's a problem. Because we don't know exactly, we can say exactly, when the sun goes down. Let's say that this is a very crazy sun. It's not round. But let's say that this is a sun. The sun goes down. This is the horizon. We look at the sun. And we have to ask ourselves, when does the sun go down? When it touches the horizon? When it's in the middle? Or when you don't see anything of the sun? That's a little time between these things. So, and then when the sun is here, under the horizon, we have still some light. So when does the new day start? We need to use the stars. So the rabbis are discussing, how shall we know? Why is it important for us? Well, if you are a Jew, the Bible says, the Torah says, the law of God says that if a boy is born from a Jewish mother, at the eighth day, you have to circumcise his flesh. So you have to know how to count the days. Let's say that there's a boy who is born right when the sun is below the horizon. The sun went down, but we don't see the stars yet. Is that the new day or the old one? How shall we count the days? That's not an easy question. So the rabbis say that to be sure, we have to put some rules here. So we have three. When we see two or three stars, we are sure that the new day is starting. Because when it's dark, you can see the stars. So the stars are also helping us to count the time, to fix when the new day starts. And that obligates us to depend on nature, not on our electronic watch or telephone. God created us close to the nature, not for being disconnected. And then we can ask ourselves, if we see two or three stars as witnesses of the new day that just started, shall we count small stars or big stars? So I don't want to go into these things. But it's very important for us to understand that when the Bible speaks about time, it's another way of counting the time than we are used to if we are in the modern Christian world, as we all have experienced. I would like to read from the scriptures. Luke 19:44. And this is the moment when my rabbi, Yeshua, Ben Yosef, Joseph's son, was approaching the city of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. Were you there?
Yes.
So you know there is
a valley
between the mountain and the city. Yes. He went down the mountain, and when he saw the city, he started to cry over the city. And that was a very special day. And he says these words. Let's say verse 41. Chapter 19, verse 41. And as he drew near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even at least in this day of yours, in this very day, the things for your peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come on you that your enemies will raise up and rampart to you and will surround you and will keep you in on every side. And they will tear you down and your children within you. And will not leave a stone on a stone because you did not know the time of your visitation. You did not know the time of your visitation. How important is it to know the times? So he said, you should know today, Jerusalem. This is a very special day. You should know that this day I am coming to you. I am the Lamb of God. And I'm coming to you, Jerusalem, like the Passover lamb. And you know, he was not received. He was received that very day. They said, Hosanna, blessed be the one who is coming in the name of Hashem. But then they started to make difficult questions. And some people wanted to kill him. And these people managed to kill him, not all the people. And he died on the 14th of the first month in the Jewish calendar. Just as God has prophesied in the scriptures that he would do. But the day when he went into Jerusalem, it was a day that God had marked on the calendar that he revealed to Israel. Something had to happen that day. And he said, you don't know, Jerusalem, what day this is. And as you don't know it, the enemies will come and destroy the city. That happened almost 2,000 years ago. What was the reason the city was destroyed? Because they did not know the time. They did not understand the prophetic movements. They did not know who really that man was who was coming into Jerusalem that day. They could have known. Now, God has shown us the ways to understand his prophetic movement. When he is going to do things in history, he has revealed it in the Jewish calendar. So if you want to know prophetic times, study the Jewish calendar. Do you want to know how God is moving in this world? You have to look at the calendar of the Jewish people. God revealed his times to the Jewish people. Also, when Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul, went to preach outside of Israel, he also revealed the Jewish calendar. You can read in 1 Thessalonians, how do you say that in English?
Thessalonians.
1 Thessalonians. 5, verse 1. He said, but of the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need that I write to you. For you yourself know accurately that the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night. How could they know that? Because Paul had taught them the prophetic time frame of the Jewish calendar, the festivals of the Lord, the festivals of Hashem, of the God of Israel. And they knew about them. And I'm sure they also kept and celebrated some of them, maybe all of them. So the non-Jews can also be a part of this prophetic calendar. And it's important to understand it, to be able to be a part of what God is doing. I will show you right now all the festivals that God has given to Israel. If you look at this, I hope everybody can see it. If you have need, please come forward. It's okay. Yeah. 5:1.
Thank you.
You can see here all these festivals, the main festivals that God gave to Israel are in Leviticus 23. Write that down. Study that chapter and learn from the Jewish people these things. Because they will help you to understand how God moves in history. They will also tell you when the Messiah will come. That's why he wept over the city. They should know that he was coming. But they didn't know the times. If they would have studied and understood the times of God, they would have known that that was the moment when the Messiah came the first time. Okay, there was a very bad king who lived about 200 years before the common era, 2,200 years ago, 2,100 and something, 60 something years ago. He was called Antiochus Epiphanes. That was a king from the north of the north of Israel, Syria. He invaded Israel, destroyed the service in the temple. He put a pork in the temple, and people started to worship. He obligated the people to worship a pork, but to use a pork to worship a Roman god, a Greek god, in the temple of Jerusalem. And that's why the revolt of the Maccabees started in Israel, to destroy this invasion from outside and to restore the service in the temple. This king is written about him in the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel or Daniel?
Daniel.
Chapter 7, verse 25, speaks about this king. And this is a prophecy, because when Daniel received this message, the king had not come yet. So this is prophecy. And he said, it's a message from an angel. It says, verse 25, 7:25. And he shall speak words. This is speaking about the bad king, this very evil king that would do these things to Israel. And this is a prototype of the anti-Messiah. The Christians call him the Antichrist. So what he did, he will try to do again. What happened in history will repeat itself now in these times. So this will happen again. What happened? Two things. He shall speak words against the Most High, this king, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. That means the Jewish people. He will make war against the Jewish people and plot to change times and laws. So this king came. Well, let's read the rest of the verse. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and one half time. That's 3.5 years. So this king, the Bible speaks about a very evil king that made an attack against the Jewish people in history. He will come back, not the same king, but the same spirit in another king, before the Messiah, the real Messiah, comes and he will do the same thing. Try to do the same thing. Two things. He will change the times and he will change the law. He will say, we don't need to follow the Jewish calendar. We don't need to have Shabbat as the day of the Lord. We can put another day. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. Changing times that God has put. And he said, also we have to change the law. So what God said to the Jewish people, that's the Old Testament. It's old. We have something new now. We don't need the old things. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. So be very careful not to take in those things in your life if you want to walk with God. And if you have already taken these things into your heart, please take them out and come back to reality. Come back to God's word. Come back to God's time frame. Come back and learn how God taught us to count the times. If we read in Leviticus 23, we will have all the feasts of the Lord, all the festivals that God gave to Israel. And it starts speaking about the Shabbat. Every seventh day is a rest day. God rested when he created the world. And man was made to his image. So man should do like his father, his creator. So if God, the creator, rested the seventh day, man should do the same. Not the eighth day or the first day of the week. The seventh day. Which one is the seventh day? The Shabbat. It starts on Friday when the sun goes down and finishes on Saturday when the sun goes down. That's the Shabbat. That's the day of rest that God put in the creation. And it's for everybody. They received it in the very beginning. Adam and Eve. When were they created? The sixth day of the week. So God created man on the sixth day and he rested the seventh. So what the man, Adam and Eve, did, the first thing they did, they had to rest together with God on the seventh day. So Those times are eternal as long as heaven and earth are created. God did not change them. Man changed them. And that's the spirit of the false Messiah.
Now when you're saying Adam and Eve, there's a song about Adam and Eve. There's a song about him.
Okay, I don't know that song. Okay, I'm sure there are many songs about Adam and Eve. Good. So, here you can find, this is a small, how do you say it? Scheme? Illustration. So you can compare the Roman months with the Hebrew months. And I will explain very quickly, because this is a teaching I would need 1 week. So I would like just to do a little introduction so you will get aperitif. I don't know if you speak French.
Yeah, that's not
aperitif. The first.
It's kind of English.
In English you say aperitif also. Flavor. Here you have the Roman month of April. May, June, July, August. You see there?
Yes.
Why is this month called September? You know the word September, what it comes from?
Sept.
From seven.
From seven. That means seven.
Seven. In Latin.
In Latin.
October.
Octa.
Eight. November. Nine. December.
Ten.
Then we have names from different Roman gods. January from the god Janus, etc. But some of them are still connecting to the original way of counting. The eighth month is now the tenth in the modern Gregorian Roman calendar that you know from childhood. So when we say October, and we compare with the Hebrew calendar, we see it's close to the eighth month. Well, if you see the Hebrew calendar, the Hebrew months start at the springtime. Now, maybe all the countries don't have spring at April, but in Israel we have spring in April. So when Israel went out of Egypt, God said in Exodus 12, "This is the first month for you." So the first month starts when Israel went out of Egypt. That's why we in the Bible have the first month, the second month, the third month, and they have also names. These are the names that we use today: Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, etc. In the Bible, we don't have all these names, but today the Jewish calendar has these names. From the beginning, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's easier. And it was also meant to be for the 12 tribes of Israel, because God made 12 tribes, one for each month. But because of the sin of the golden calf, God did not give the tribes the honor to give names to the months. So the Bible only speaks about them as numbers, not names. Some of them has names. Okay, we cannot go into very deep details here. But the Hebrew calendar is based on the moon, basically. The Roman Christian calendar is based on the sun. So if you ask a Christian, how many days do you have in the year? How many days would you say? 365. And a fourth and a quarter. More or less. A little more. And that's the time that the earth needs to go one circle around the sun. That's 1 year. That's a solar year. Now, the moon is circling around the earth. and you see the new moon, you see the full moon, and you see the
half
moon. Yeah. Why? Because the sun is in one place and the moon is turning around, and then you see half the moon, because this, the moon is giving reflection from the sun. You don't see all the moon, all the month. It depends on where the sun is and where the moon is and where the earth is. And if you look at the moon, you will notice that it takes 29 and a half days to make one turn around the earth. 29 and a half days. And if you then have a moon month, it will have 29 days or 30 days. And if you multiply that by 12, you will get 254 days. So the moon year is 354 days. And the sun year is 365. You have 11 days of difference between the moon year and the sun year. In the Bible, it's only speaking about the moon year, not the sun year. But something happened in history. About 2,700 years ago, something happened in our solar system. So there was a change. So 365 days we have today in the solar year, they did not have before. They had only 360. All the ancient cultures have in their history recorded that something happened. Suddenly the solar year was larger, was 5 days more than before. Before it was 360 days, now it's 365. And as far as I understand, also the moon year had a change. I don't know if it was then, or before, or after. So I believe that the moon year was 360 days also from the beginning. That means that when the Torah was written, when Moses received the Torah from heaven on the Mount Sinai, they counted the calendar differently from today, because there has been a change in the system of our planets and the sun and the earth, because of things that happen in history. There is a festival for the first month of the Jewish month. The first month. It's called Nisan today, this month. It's called Pesach, Passover in English. Pesach is the first festival that we have in Israel. And during that festival, it's a 7-day celebration. In that festival, we have to present to Hashem the first fruits of the land of Israel, of barley, not wheat. Wheat comes a little later. The barley is the first fruit we have. So Hashem said in His Bible, in His Torah, that you cannot eat from the new harvest of the land, of the fruits of the land, before you have presented the first fruits to Hashem of the barley, the first Omer of your barley. Omer is a measure about, you use liters or gallons?
We use liters.
Also gallons?
Yeah.
1 gallon, 3.5 liters. That's the amount of crops, of flour that they had to ground it and present it as an offering in the temple, and after that they could eat from the land every year. No, we don't have a temple. When the temple is working, it's like this. This is in the Torah. But the crops of the harvest of the barley depends, they depend on the sun, because spring has to do with the sun going, the earth going around the sun. So we have a real problem here. Well, if we shall celebrate Passover, Pesach, in the springtime, when the barley is mature, and the moon calendar is 11 days less than the sun calendar, let's say we have barley this year. Okay, this is the first month. We see the new moon, we see that the new month is starting, we blow the trumpet and say, now the first day of the first month has begun. And we have barley on the fields, so during, in the middle of the month, we will sacrifice barley and give it to the Lord in the temple, and then we can eat from the fruits of the land. Okay, this was this year. Now we count 12 months of 29 and a half days. Then we come to 354 days. But the solar year is a little short. We have still 11 days to come to the same point as the last year, the first day of the first month. 11 days short. And that's a little colder. So maybe the barley is not mature this year. But we go out and look at the fields. Yes, it's mature. We can celebrate Pesach this year also, in this month. We can give Hashem the barley fruit from the land of Israel. And then we can eat from the land. And then we do 12 months more. 354 days. And then we have 22 days difference with the solar year. It's almost a whole month. So it's very early if we look at the nature. It's cold and the barley is not mature. What shall we do? We have 12 months. Because we are counting the moon. We look at the new moon every month and we say this is the new month 12 times. And we get 354 days. But we don't have any barley. What shall we do? God said to us, in the first month, you have to present the barley from the land of Israel. And we don't have the barley. It's not mature enough. It's too cold. What shall we do? We have to add another month. So this year we need 13 months. Did you get the message? So sometimes we have to have 13 months. Months in the Jewish calendar, not 12, to adjust the moon calendar with the solar calendar. This is not easy stuff. But if we want to be prophetic, we have to study. You know, the prophets studied a lot to be able to understand God's times. There is a time for everything. And you cannot speak about the Roman calendar if you want to have God's time. Understand how God moves. Okay, this was to understand why sometimes we have 13 months in the Hebrew calendar. Every 2 or 3 years, we have to add an extra month to be able to adjust it to the nature. Because the nature doesn't follow the moon, it follows the sun. Okay, let's look at the feasts. We have two groups of feasts. The springtime and the fall time. The feast of the spring and the feast of the autumn. Fall. If you count them, you can count 4 or 3 in the springtime. It depends. If you count this barley offering as a separate feast, you have 4. But I believe that we should not count it 100%. It's three. We have three here and four in the fall time. So we have seven yearly celebrations, feasts in Israel. But there are three groups of feasts because we have three things together here. One thing here and four things together here. So they are in the same week we have different festivals. All these festivals, all these festivals are speaking about the Messiah. You have it in Colossians. Sorry for my English. I mix with my Spanish. Colossians 2:16. There you can see that Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul, speaks to the non-Jews in the city of Colossus?
Colossae?
Okay, they're good. It's not easy, right?
Yeah.
And he said, 2:16, therefore let no one judge you in food or in drink or in respect of feasts or of the new moon or of the Shabbats, the Sabbaths. For these are shadow of things to come. These are a shadow of things to come. But the body is the Messiah. So these festivals, food and drink, feasts, new moon and Shabbat, are all shadows of the Messiah who is coming. He is the body, and he is projecting a shadow. If you look at... there is a shadow from everybody here. Put your hand somewhere. You will see a shadow. Okay, the shadows are the festivals. But the body is the Messiah. So if you want to study how the body of the Messiah is, just study the festivals, and you will understand it. Much things about the Messiah. So Rabbi Shaul says, don't let them judge you if you celebrate Shabbat. You are free to celebrate the feast of Israel, even if you are not Jewish. Don't let them judge you if you eat the biblical food, if you choose not to eat pork. Don't let them judge you. These things are shadows of things to come. So when you are doing these things, you are prophesying about what is coming in a practical way with your life. So if you want to know more about the Messiah, you can do these things. Because there is revelation about him here. Not only studying, but also living. When you start to rest on Shabbat, you will have a great blessing from heaven. If you don't do it yet. There is only one day in the week that God blessed. He blessed the Shabbat, not the Sunday. If you read Genesis, it said God blessed the seventh day. It's the only day that is blessed. And if you rest on that day, you will get that blessing. You want the blessing?
Yes.
You have to rest on Shabbat, not on Sunday. You can rest on Sunday also, but if you don't rest on Shabbat, you will not get the blessing. God put the blessing on that day, not any other day. Okay, if you don't want the blessing, don't rest on Shabbat. The Shabbat starts when the sun goes down Friday night, Friday evening. The sun goes down, it's dark, then the Shabbat starts until Saturday when the sun goes down. 24 hours. That's the Shabbat. Sunday is the first day of the week. And that is written in the Bible. First day of the week.
Sunday.
Yeah, you call it Sunday. Because there was a Roman Empire. they instituted the first day of the week as the worship of the god Sun. So it's called the Sun Day.
Wow.
So the Sunday worship has pagan roots from the Roman Empire, worshipping the sun on the Sunday. So if you want to be biblical, you have to worship on Saturday. But that's not the biblical name, because Saturday comes from Saturn, that's also a god from the Roman system. So in the Bible, it's not called Saturday, it's called Shabbat. It means the rest, or the day when you stop working, you stop creating. So in the Bible, it's called the first day of the week, the second day of the week, the third day, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, Shabbat. And in our home, we call them the same. In Hebrew, every Jew is saying, when shall we see Yom Ravi, the fourth day of the week? We don't call it Wednesday, because Wednesday comes from a pagan god. From the north god Odin, Odin Wednesday. Thursday is from Tur, that's also a Nordic god. Tuesday, the day we worship Tur. Friday is from another northern god, Freya. So you have all gods from the ancient pagan system in the week names.
Saturday
from Saturn.
It's another god.
Different gods,
different
from
gods.
Romans and pagan, all pagan.
It's not even good to mention the
word. We in Israel, we don't use those names in Israel. We use only the names of the numbers of the days. Second day of the week. And that's a new, in Portugal, they use it also. They say segunda feira, tercera feira. That means the second day, the third day of the week. That's the biblical way to think. So when you are on Sunday, when the sun goes down Saturday evening, that's the beginning of the first day of the week.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Does it mean you don't have to go anywhere from sundown on Friday to Saturday evening? You have to rest. You don't go anywhere.
Well, if you are a Jew, you cannot travel that day. If you are not a Jew, you are invited to rest, and you will get the blessing.
Okay. So if you are not a Jewish,
you don't need to feel obligated.
I know,
but you will get the blessing if you rest that day.
So even if you go to church on Sunday, and then you come back home, and then you rest.
On Sunday?
Sunday morning, like
Sunday morning is not rest day.
It's not blessed. The Sunday.
You can go to church any day of the week. If you want the blessing that God put in the creation, you need to respect the Shabbat. There is no commandment anywhere in the scriptures that you should have a rest day on Sunday or worship on Sunday. Nowhere in the Bible. That is human laws from the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church teaches that the Catholic Church has power over the Bible to change the Bible. That was from the Concilium of Trent, it says. And the Catholic Church has changed the rest day from Sabbath to Sunday, and we have such power that even the Protestant church accept our authority over the scriptures. So every time a Protestant says that the worship day is Sunday, he is recognizing the Catholic Church as having power over the Bible, more authority than the Bible. If we look at the year festivals. Now we spoke about the Shabbat. That's for the week. One day a week we have Shabbat. That depends on the sun. We count the days according to we see the sun, the stars. We know when Shabbat is. If you don't know when the seventh day is, please ask the Jewish people. They know. They have been celebrating Shabbat for 3,500 years. And we never changed that. And that's a very important day for us. It's a sign of the covenant between us and God. So we never change the Shabbat. So if you want to know the right day, please ask the Jewish people. But then we have monthly festivals, the first day of the moon. When you see the new moon, we have half a celebration in the synagogue at home. And then we have yearly celebrations. And these in Leviticus 23 mentions all of them. You have all of them here in one chapter. So you have the first month, springtime in Israel, April, March, April, we have Passover. According to the month of the moon, not the Christian Passover, it's called Easter. You know what the word Easter comes from?
Yeah, come from Easter.
From Ishtar, the pagan goddess Ishtar, from the Babylon system. So the Christians have mixed Jewish faith with pagan things. Be careful. If you want to be pure, just study and go out of Babylon. The Passover is not the same as the Christian Easter, Passover and Easter are not the same. Because something happened in history, the 4th century, there was a strong movement among the Christians to not be like Jews. So they decided to change the date of the Passover and start to have Easter instead of Passover. And they separated themselves from the biblical time table, the time frame. But I am here, and we are here, and we and you are here to come back to the original, to get the flow from the source and to purify the water from everything that has been disturbing, contaminating our bodies. When we drank that water, we got a little crazy, but now we are restoring things. So may Hashem help us in this movement. So in the springtime, we have Passover, and then we count 50 days to the Shavuot. It's called in Christian world Pentecost. It comes from 50. The Pente is 50 in Greek. So 50 days from Passover to Shavuot, that's a time we count. So these festivals are connected. Shavuot, Pentecost, is the fulfillment of Passover. 50 days. And when we received the Torah from heaven on Sinai, it was on Pentecost. That was the first Pentecost in history, when the people of Israel was at the foot of Sinai, hearing the word of God, hearing the Ten Commandments with their ears, and they received the two tablets and the written Torah from the mountain, from God, who came down. That was the first Pentecost. So Jewish people have been celebrating Pentecost for 1,500 years almost before the Spirit came over Jerusalem after Yeshua's resurrection. Okay. That was not the first Pentecost.
Okay.
There was a big, almost 1,500 year celebration every year. Why were they gathered in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2? They were celebrating the feast of Pentecost as a remembrance from when God gave the word at Sinai to Moses. Now he gave the word, and now he gives the Spirit. The Spirit and the word together is dynamite.
Yes, yes.
We need both. So if you are a Pentecostal, you need to study the word and to be full of the Spirit. Okay, these are the springtime festivals. All of them speak about the Messiah's first coming. And if you study them one by one, you will see how accurate they are. Yeshua died at the same moment when the Passover lamb was slaughtered in the temple. The same moment. He was put in the tomb. He rose the third day, and that day they gave the barley fruit in the temple. The first fruit of the land that had the seeds had died, and now they came up new. That's a resurrection. And they presented the barley in the temple, and Yeshua came out of the grave the same day. Then they counted 50 days. He went to heaven. He said, you have to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, and he will send it to you. And they were all together on the day of Pentecost, on the day of Shavuot, the Jewish festival. And the Spirit came at 9 o'clock in the morning. What was happening then? They were sacrificing the sacrifice in the temple. So they were not in the upper room, they were in the temple when the Spirit came. It was not place for 120 there in the upper room. Yeah, they were 120, but when the Spirit came, it was much more people. So it said it filled the house, and in Hebrew the house is the temple, not the upper room. So they were praying for many days in the upper room, but when the Spirit came, they were not in the upper room. That's a Catholic tradition. I'm sure they were in the temple when the Spirit came. Because the people came together, everybody, and they preached. And 2,000 people heard the preaching. They were in the temple. Okay. Now, Yeshua came the first time, the Messiah. He went to heaven. The Spirit came. And now, he said, the angel said, the one you saw go up, he will come back. At the same time, the same way you saw him leave, he will come back. How did they see him leave? From the Mount of Olives, and a cloud took them out of their sight. So he will come back in a cloud. And everybody will see him. He will come back the same way he went. And at the same spot, the same place. The Mount of Olives. You were there.
Yes.
He will come back to that place.
Amen.
Very soon. When? Well, those festivals of the fall time, autumn time, they will be fulfilled as the first festivals were fulfilled. The first time he came, the second time he will fulfill these festivals. So we would know, more or less, when during the year he will come back. Because if he was hung on tree, he was executed the same day as the Pesach lamb was slaughtered in the temple. He rose up the same day when the barley was presented in the temple. He was anointed as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek in heaven on Pentecost. And that spirit that came over him also went down to the earth. And they received the same spirit as the resurrected Messiah as a high priest in heaven. So his disciples were also priests. Everybody who received the spirit is a heavenly priest, together with the high priest. So he can serve in the heavenly tabernacle, together with Yeshua, the resurrected high priest. So he was 3.5 years preaching as a prophet. He died as a Lamb of God. He was resurrected and he was introduced as a priest in heaven. Now he is serving as a priest. So he was 3.5 years prophet, 2,000 years priesthood, and when he comes back, he will be king.
Amen.
He is not king now.
Amen.
He will be the king of Israel.
So what actual month did he die? What is the month?
When he died?
Yeah, the month.
The first month, Nisan.
Which is April.
April.
Okay.
But you have to think Jewish, not Christian now.
Yeah, I understand.
There was no April then. It didn't exist April then.
Israel,
He died the first day of the month, of the Hebrew month.
Yeah.
Now, he will come back the first day of the seventh month.
Okay.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
Again.
He will come back the first day of the seventh month. But we don't know the year.
So, we are waiting.
How would we know it? He has to fulfill the feasts. All the feasts are the shadows of the body. So if you look at the shadow, you will see that. If you see the shadow, I can count five fingers on the shadow.
Yes.
If I would see eight fingers, that would something is not right.
Yeah.
So you can see now, he came the first time, he fulfilled all the feasts. Why should he not fulfill the rest when he comes back? So we have everything to understand that what he did, he will continue to do it and continue to fulfill the feast of the Lord. So he will come back the first day of the seventh month, Hebrew month. So you have to study to know when the Hebrew month is. Let's ask the questions after. Let's make questions after. The questions after the teaching, please. Just write them down, please. So, that day is called in the scriptures Yom Teruah. That's the day of the blow of the trumpet. But it's not a normal trumpet. It's the shofar. The horn. Ram's horn.
Yeah, the ram's horn, yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Every year we blow that trumpet here in Israel.
Wow.
In the synagogue I blow that trumpet. And we blow it like this. There are three kinds of blowing. Like this. And every sound has a meaning. And it's a message to us. To wake up from the spiritual slumber. And that's the day when the dead will resurrect. When Yeshua comes back. First day of the seventh month. That's the only festival we don't know the day or the hour. Why? Because in ancient times, they had to look at the moon and see when the new moon is seen during the night. So there were witnesses in Jerusalem looking at the moon or looking at the sky to see if the moon was coming. And when 29 days had gone from the last time we saw the new moon, maybe we could see the new moon this night. But we don't know the hour or the day, if it's today or tomorrow night. Because when we have 30 days, it's of course we will see the new moon, but we don't know the hour. So when he says nobody knows the day or the hour, it speaks of the new moon festival. And there is only one year festival on the new moon, and that's the first day of the seventh month, called Rosh Hashanah or Yom Teruah, the day of the sound of the shofar. 10 days later, we have Yom Kippur. He will take the sins away from Israel in one day. All Israel will be saved. Did you hear that word before? That's Yom Kippur. 5 days later, the 15th day of the seventh month, there will be celebration of the wedding of the bride of the Messiah. That's the tabernacle festival. And we celebrate that for 7 days, but when the Messiah comes back, it will be 1,000 years of celebration. The millennium. The kingdom of the Messiah ruling from Jerusalem over the rest of the world. And all of those who were born again will be with him. Ruling over the nations. Were you born again? There will be no Christians, only born again people. Did you get that message? Your identification is not in the Bible. There are no Christians.
Yes.
They started to call them Christians, but Abraham was not Christian. David was not. Yeshua was not a Christian. The Messiah is not a Christian. Don't be angry with me. I'm telling the truth. Yeshua never went to the. Yeshua never went to the church. He went to the synagogue every Shabbat. He was not a Christian. Christian is something that came this afterwards. And Christianity is a mixture with Jewish faith with paganism. So, your identification, if I'll be a little prophet. Stop identifying as a Christian. Because God does not see you as a Christian. He sees you as a son or daughter of Him. You are born again. You are part of the family. You are part of the heavenly family. And in heaven there are no Christians. Only born again people. Did you get the message? Only born again people are part of the heavenly family. Jewish and non-Jews. So the identification has to be with the resurrection of the Messiah to be able to be a son and a daughter of God. So you are sons and daughters of God. There are so many Christians who will not be saved. You can be a part of a Christian church, you can believe everything that Christians believe. If you are not born by the Spirit, you will not be saved. You have to be born again. Born by the Spirit. You have to receive the resurrection life of the Messiah in your yes. in your inner being.
Yes.
New birth inside of you. And the identification then is to be a son of God. Okay? I was a little nasty, but don't be angry with me. I'm trying to tell you the truth. So when the Messiah comes back, we will have a celebration for 1,000 years. After that, the house of the bride and the bridegroom will come down from heaven. It's the New Jerusalem. And it will come to the earth after 1,000 years. And that's a time of new things for the world. There will be no sin anymore. And that's the eighth day of the celebration of Sukkot, the tabernacle. It's called Shmini Atzeret. It's called the eighth day of conclusion in Hebrew. Shmini Atzeret. It's also called Simchat Torah, when we celebrate the Torah. But the scripture, the Torah says it's called Shmini Atzeret. It means the eighth day of conclusion. So number eight is a very important number. We have a mathematic teacher here. I love maths. And I love math teachers. Eight in the scriptures speaks about a new day. You have 7 days of the week, and the eighth day is also the first day of the next week. So it's a new birth, new beginning. There were eight persons in the Noah's Ark. An old world was destroyed, and there was a new world with eight people. Number eight is the supernatural coming into the natural. It also speaks about the eighth millennium.
Millennium.
You have from the creation of the world, you have 6,000 years of work, struggle, sin, unrighteousness, evil, ruling the world. And then you have 1,000 years of Shabbat, peace. With the Messiah ruling over Jerusalem, over all the nations. And if you are a part of the Messiah, when he comes back, you will have the nationality of the kingdom, of the messianic kingdom, from Israel, ruling over the rest of the world. For 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years, we have 7,000 years from Adam. And then the 8th millennium starts with new heavens and new earth, where there is only righteousness, no sin whatsoever. This is the program of God's salvation. Everything in the festivals, in the feasts of Israel. Every time we celebrate these things, we are prophesying. We are telling what happened, and we are telling what will happen. And if you go into these things, you will be very clear, you will have a very clear understanding of God's prophetic times. If you don't know the times, maybe you could be destroyed, as Jerusalem. If you would know today what will give you peace, but you don't know the times of your visitation, that's why the Romans will come and destroy you. So you have to know when God comes and visits you. He comes to you and says to you, "Here I am. Do you want to receive me? Do you want to change your life? You cannot live in sin anymore. This is the time for your salvation. Take it now. Don't leave it for tomorrow. Maybe that tomorrow will never come for you. You have to take the time that God is giving you. There is a visitation time for everybody." Okay?
Yes.